You must take responsibility for allowing someone who does not understand your worth to determine your value. Good morning.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_Beeble. I hope you guys have been enjoying the positional tier podcast that we've been putting out. Point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, all in the book. So today we're going to be looking at the power forwards. To talk about the power forwards, once again, I'm going to be joined by Matt Smith from Basketball Monster. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you. Good to have you back on to talk some power forwards. Another position that is got some interesting value, with many players having that dual position eligibility: power forward, center, or small forward, power forward. So a few guys overlap, but of course, if we don't talk about your player here, they're probably going to be in the centers tiers podcast. Or if you haven't heard them there, they might have been in a small forward one that you happened to miss, which some of those players will be. We are ready to get started.
Let's get to it.
Oh, that's a really, really good idea. Let's start with tier one, Matt. You know who it is. Let us know who's tier one in the power forwards.
Yeah, by himself is Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, you and Kyle have expertly pointed out that his playing time is likely to dip this season with the arrival of the new coach, Mike Budenholzer. So that's dropped him down our projections and rankings slightly. But he'll still be drafted, or should be drafted, inside the top five or around that area. Massive combination of rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. No real concern there for me with Giannis inside the top five or six.
Yeah, I don't think you have to have any concern about, you know, what he's going to do stats-wise. His defensive numbers took a dip last season, and that caused him to be, I guess, somewhat of a disappointment. People considering him a number one pick, a number two pick, and he ended up, I think, the eighth-ranked player last season, and played a shitload of minutes to actually get to that level. He played almost 37 minutes per night. He was the seventh-ranked player, actually. And I can see those minutes coming down. I don't think they're going to be really low or anything like that, but I don't think... it was a complete mismanagement last season with sore knees that he had to play him that many minutes. I think it comes down... Even if it comes down 1 minute, that's enough to take him from a top three candidate back to that seven or eight type of guy, which is where I've got him ranked. His free throw percentage can be somewhat of a concern as well. And I don't think his assists have taken the big jump up that we hope they did a couple of years ago.
No, they haven't. They're still around that sort of five mark. If you could get to that 7-8, that would really boost him right into the top five.
And with Chris Middleton doing a lot of ball handling, and Eric Bledsoe and Malcolm Brogdon, it just doesn't feel like Giannis is going to take that extra step to get those assists to that level. If he could get back to 1.8 steals and 1.8 blocks, then of course the value goes through the roof. But it just feels like it might be a little bit tough for him to actually get back to that level at this stage. So I think he's a strong middle round guy, but in the end, I think if you're picking him at 2 or 3, I think that's probably going a little bit too far on Giannis, but he could very easily prove me wrong in that area. Tier two, another guy by himself, Matt.
LeBron James. LeBron James from the Lakers. Still be a nightly triple-double threat in LA. We've got him projected for around 8 rebounds and 8 assists per game. His poor free throw percentage works against him the way our projections play out, but he should be a top 10 player again this season.
In terms of the guys that we have projected as your first round guys from my projection set anyway, the biggest negative in any single one category is actually James's free throw percentage. So you have to pay attention to that. Now, it's not terrible, but it's because of the large number of attempts that he does take, and the fact that, you know, he could be 75, he could be 60. Look, his numbers have varied quite a bit in that area, but you do have to pay attention to that. Yeah, it's marginally different to, say, Westbrook's field goal percentage or Lillard's field goal percentage, which can be somewhat of a problem, but James's free throw percentage actually is the biggest negative category in those top 12 players that we have, or that I have projected. So that is something to bear in mind, especially in a rotisserie format. that you do have to pay attention, that those free throws are going to be something that you're going to have to look at working on and getting them back in the next couple of rounds, because otherwise, if you don't get those high volume free throw guys, you are going to be in somewhat of a hole. It's not unrecoverable from with James and his free throw percentage, but it is something that you do need to pay a level of attention to make sure that you're taking care of that category in a rotisserie league in particular. Matt, tier three, what are we looking at?
Is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers, a pretty big jump from LeBron James down to K-Love. Talk of his returning to his Minnesota production days are just irresponsible in my opinion.
Agree.
But a numerical increase is expected, as Love is basically the only star quality left there in Cleveland. We know his points, rebounds, threes, and free throw percentage, again, are the elite areas of his game. So, we should see Kevin Love inside the top 20 this season. Make sure he fits your build when you draft him in the second round.
He's not going to be Kevin Love Minnesota. There's a couple of reasons. A, he's like 5 years older. That's probably the number one reason. He probably won't play the level of minutes that he was playing in Minnesota. There's reason number two. And it's a different sort of offensive scheme that he's playing. But we should see his assists and his points and his playing time increase this season. It might have a negative impact on his efficiency. It may not. And you know he's not going to get any defensive numbers. But he is a guy that is still providing value, ranked outside the top, actually ranked 35th on Yahoo after they've redone their rankings. So, there's still good value. That means he's available in the third round. And you do have to weigh up the injuries and the games missed that are likely going to come with Love. He's had multiple different issues over the past 3 or 4 years. But I still think he's a pretty strong second round guy and clearly in a tier of his own there at tier number three, as you mentioned. Let's go to tier four. Another guy who sits alone in a tier here is Golden State Warriors' Draymond Green, Matt.
That is correct. Like Kevin Love, everybody knows what they're going to get with Draymond, large volume of out-of-position assists, his strong defensive stats as always. The arrival of DeMarcus Cousins could work against him later in the season, especially come fantasy playoff time when owners need him most, so keep that in mind. But during the regular season, it should be pretty much status quo for Draymond Green.
Out of the top 50 guys that I've got projected, Draymond is the lowest scorer out of all of that group, and we don't project him to score many points, so that is a concern, and we know that points are fairly heavily concentrated inside the top 50 players. So if you're taking Draymond, whether that's in round two or round three, you need to be really confident that your points category is strong. Otherwise, it's really hard to get it back, isn't it, Matt? There aren't many guys. Like last season, maybe it was last season, you could have got Devin Booker perhaps outside the top 50 and there was a 20-point scorer. In previous years, Andrew Wiggins was available outside the top 50 and there was a 20-point scorer. But Booker, of course, jumped up to be a top 25 guy, and Wiggins' scoring dropped by like 5 or 6 points, so he's no longer a 20-point-per-game guy. So there just really aren't many high-scoring guys. Maybe it's Harrison Barnes, but the addition of DeAndre Jordan and Luka Doncic takes some usage and some scoring opportunities away from him. So getting points back after those first four rounds is really tough. And if you've got Draymond, it's going to put you in a pretty big hole.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Harrison Barnes later on. But like you said, these guys who are high scorers outside the top 50 all have massive weaknesses in other areas. So whether it's a DeMar DeRozan, an Aaron Gordon type, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jabari Parker, Zach LaVine, Harrison Barnes, as we said, they all have massive weaknesses. So you have to be really, really careful the way you build your team.
Yeah, in terms of guys in the top 100 that I've got, I think there's only one other player with a worse projected scoring output than Draymond, and it is Kyle Anderson. A couple of guys with equal numbers like Larry Nance or Jaren Jackson Jr. So in that top 100, you're talking about probably the worst overall scorer in that group outside of Kyle Anderson. But he's bringing value in those other areas, but it does really make it tough. And just try when you go draft Draymond in round two or round three, see how competitive your points category looks. And it may mean that you need to be drafting points at the expense of other areas like you just mentioned. And that can put you in real holes there. Draymond's not a guy that I've had in fantasy leagues very often at all recently, just because of that fact. I like to get my points early because they do become really, really tough to get a hold of later when I can grab some of those other numbers, get my high points, try and insulate that category, and then I can go after some more lower usage categorical specialists. And Draymond is that categorical specialist, but he's going very, very early because of his elite production in steals and blocks and assists and rebounds. and that is somewhat of a negative, I believe, with Draymond Green. So you do have to really pay attention to that and how your team looks in your team build. Tier 5, Matt, another single tier. Here you've got LaMarcus Aldridge sitting all alone in Tier 5.
Yeah, he's been one of the most efficient big men in the game for a while now. His scoring took a big leap last season as the Spurs relied on him all season long without Kawhi Leonard. DeMar DeRozan will offer some support this season. And Aldridge's blocks have also been really strong in San Antonio with 80, 88 and 90 over the past three seasons. So we don't really associate LaMarcus Aldridge as being a block sort of guy, but he's well above average in that category and a perfect fit there in sort of round three or four if you're looking at a big man who doesn't hurt you anyway.
He was an absolute monster after the All-Star break, the 17th ranked player, averaging 25 and 8.5 with those 1.2 blocks. But it was the combination of efficiencies, 53% from the field, 84% from the line on really, really high volume. But Matt, the key point that you brought up there early is saying without Kawhi Leonard. And of course, he doesn't have Kawhi Leonard this season, but he has someone else who's going to take a shitload of shots, and that's DeMar DeRozan. So I think that LaMarcus is going to suffer a pretty significant hit to his scoring. The 2 years that he played with Kawhi, he was at 18 and 17 points per game. Now, I don't see him necessarily taking that far of a step back, but I would be pretty stunned if he equaled or exceeded the 23 points per game he scored last season on a usage of 29%. For reference, 25 and 26 were his previous usages. I see him going back to that level, so I don't think he can be a top 20 guy like he was post All-Star, or I don't think he'd be a top 25 guy like he was overall, but he still sits pretty strongly in this tier, and those elite percentages, and they are elite, they are perfect for a rotisserie format. So that's where Aldridge really, really does get that value, but just I wouldn't be expecting the exact same numbers that he put up last season for those reasons that I mentioned. Tier 6, finally we got two players in one tier here, Matt. And it's very, very much opposite ends of the spectrum with these two guys, and in terms of the stats they bring as well.
Yeah, it was. I was going to mention that, and this is a perfect example of how tiers work and grouping players of similar overall value, but these two offer completely different skill sets. We've got John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks and Blake Griffin from the Pistons. Every man and his dog is on the John Collins hype train this season. And it's easy to see why his well-rounded basketball ability translates perfectly to our fantasy game, tempting us with top 50 value. He's going to be an important piece of this young Atlanta Hawks team. The danger will be that people could draft him at his ceiling. But yeah, all things look in line for a John Collins breakout year. And Blake Griffin, he's on his way down. John Collins is on his way up. They're just two ships passing in the night. Griffin's scoring and rebounding dropped significantly last season when traded to the Pistons. Is unlikely to ever go back to those sort of numbers. The assists are nice, but the lack of defensive stats, Josh, are just damning, and that they put so much pressure on the rest of your roster.
Get to Collins first here. I agree with you. I think he's almost definitely going to be drafted at his ceiling. Yahoo has updated their ranks, so he's up to 45th now in their ranks, which is right about where I think he can be. I'm not sure he can actually get higher than that, but it is a risk taking him there at pick number 45. Now, it's not a tremendous risk. I don't see who's taking those minutes away from him. We thought that he'd be a good permanent producer last season. He was. He just didn't get those minutes. So now that the minutes are going to come, the numbers should translate and he should be start hitting threes. His blocks are fine. Good field goal percentage. Strong, strong rebounder. But yeah, a lot of the value is sucked out of drafting him because of this significant update to the ranks that Yahoo put out. Unsurprisingly, that they went and did that at this time of the year. As for Blake, I had someone question the other day, why have you got him projected with such a low field goal percentage? He shot 44% from the field last year, and I've got him projected marginally higher than that. They go, well, the last 3 years he shot 50% from the field, and that's true. He did. You can't deny that. But what happened is he took his three-point attempt numbers up from 0.4, 0.5, and 1.9 up to 5.6. So we're talking almost triple the amount of threes, and when you're only hitting them at 34%, that takes a huge, huge chunk out of your overall field goal percentage. So he's gone from a guy who was taking, I don't kind of work out the percentage, you have 10% of his, 12% of his shots from three, to a guy who's taking almost 35 to 40% of his shots from three. And that's it. That's why that field goal percentage dropped. His rebounding has continued to suffer every year. I think his assists go up this year. And as you said, defensively, he gives you nothing. Like, you're just not getting steals, you're not getting blocks. You're just not getting anything. So you do have to pay attention to that, plus a guy that, you know, consistently seems to have all sorts of wacky and wild injuries. Maybe he stays healthy. Who knows? It is a possibility. And if you're getting him in that is tier five range, I think it's fine, but be aware of the weaknesses and the differences in Blake Griffin's game compared to other guys who may be around at that area.
So just on Griffin, if managers are looking to target him, we're going to need some massive numbers in those defensive categories. So maybe a Giannis, you could pair him with an Anthony Davis type, maybe Chris Paul for steals, any other sort of players early on who would make sense to pair with Blake Griffin?
Well, I guess it depends on what you want to do with your free throws. You could get like a Rudy Gobert in there as well to really help anchor those block numbers and rebound numbers down as well. A Griffin-Gobert front court pairing is still going to be a little bit down on steals, but you're going to get the Griffin's making up for Gobert's lack of scoring. Gobert makes up for Griffin's lack of rebounding. The blocks come in there. The field goal percentage boost is nice as well, but you are going to have a real issue with your free throw percentage there as well. Yeah, Giannis, and of course, would be an ideal guy with getting those steals and blocks in there. Davis would be perfect as well. Even Kevin Durant, perhaps, although his steal numbers are pretty low. So you do have to, or you can just say, well, you know what, I'm not going to care about blocks, and you can pair Griffin with, say, a Kevin Love and go big on some scoring, low field goal percentage from bigs, punt your blocks and field goal percentage, which you'd have to do if you paired those two guys together, but that could be a combination that works there as well. But you do really need to pay attention to those defensive numbers, because as a power forward, Griffin is well below average in that category. Tier 7, Matt, we've got a few guys listed here. Let's roll through them.
Yeah, we've got Lauri Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls, Nikola Mirotic from the Pelicans, Julius Randle, also of the Pelicans, and Aaron Gordon from the Magic. Markkanen had an excellent rookie season. He'll have some offensive assistance now with a healthy Zach LaVine and the newly acquired Jabari Parker. His stat line is Kevin Love lightish. Poor man's Kevin Love. Without the assist, slightly more blocks. So he's a good mid-round pick. Nikola Mirotic is really close in terms of production to Lauri Markkanen. And I put out a poll on Twitter, I think it was last week, comparing these two and asking my followers who they would pick first. And it was overwhelming, Markkanen about 70 to 30%, which was probably correct, but I was a little surprised that it was that margin. Thought it might have been a little bit closer. So we've seen Markkanen's a little bit more efficient from the field, but we have seen Mirotic have some massive stretches of value, and the Pelicans will be pushing all the way for a playoff spot again in the Western Conference. The same applies for Julius Randle there coming across. Should fit nicely into Alvin Gentry's up-tempo offense, which will suit his skill set. If only he could offer a few more steals and blocks.
Blake Griffin syndrome.
It is a little bit, isn't it? And if Anthony Davis missed time, these two are going to go absolutely nuts. And Aaron Gordon, another good power forward who managers will be presented with plenty of options and decisions around this range of the draft. So, yeah, a bit of a horses for courses approach, and depending on what you've done earlier on in your draft and, who you take here.
Three guys there are Mirotic, Gordon, and Randle, who are all low, Mirotic, Gordon, and Markkanen, who are all low on the field goal percentage side as well. So it's not uncommon to have power forwards who are actual negatives in that field goal percentage category. Then you've got Randle, who that's one of his big positives, but hits no threes and offers no defense as well. With Mirotic, I think it's going to come down to his minutes. If they decide to shoehorn him in at small forward, then it is going to enable him to get to 31 or 32. If they don't, it might be a struggle to get that many minutes. And if he does, then if they're playing him 32 a night, then I would have him over Markkanen. He does block shots better. He steals the ball better. I just think overall he's a better player than Markkanen at this point. I don't think the Chicago Bulls subreddit absolutely just thinks that Markkanen is already an all-star, one of the best players of all time. It's rivaling the Suns' love of Devin Booker. And I understand you've got to have young players to go for, but I think we need to just calm down a little bit on Markkanen, because Jabari Parker, as you mentioned, Zach LaVine, even Chris Dunn, they're going to be taking shots away, which should be his, because he's probably the best guy on that team. But I think it's going to be hard for Markkanen to find the amount of shots that he probably should. Now, if he does, that's great. But the lack of defense, again, it's always going to be something that limits players like Markkanen and his overall ceiling. As for Gordon, he's another guy, Matt, that struggles with the defensive stuff. Had a really hot streak to start last season in terms of his shooting, and then it fell off a cliff back to what he'd done in his previous 3 years. So until he shows me that he can do it long term, I think he's going to be a shit shooter. he had, yeah, that was it, 20 games maybe where he was shooting 40% and then, you know, 25% for the rest of the year, and those numbers are clearly made up. But it was that sort of a difference in the shooting. And until that comes around, I'm not really convinced that Gordon's ever going to be a positive in the field goal percentage or the shooting stakes for an NBA team.
And not to mention he's got Jonathan Isaac pushing him for minutes now too.
Yep. Tier 8.
Tier 8, we have Rondae Hollis-Jefferson from the Nets, Rudy Gay from the Spurs, and Jaren Jackson Jr. from the Grizzlies. Hollis-Jefferson doesn't get a real lot of fanfare, but he's a reliable fantasy player who will provide enough points, rebounds, and a few steals and blocks to keep you afloat. Won't hurt your efficiency either. And Josh Jared Dudley and Kenneth Faried won't be eating into his playing time this season.
I'd hope not.
Rudy Gay. So when we did the small forward tiers, we listed a number of players who provide across-the-board production, and Rudy Gay fits that mold as well. You should be able to get him with a bit of a draft day discount, potentially outside the top 100, but he could provide sort of top 80 value on the season, so he's a bit of a nice sleeper there in the later rounds. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is still likely to come off the bench, and reports out of Memphis suggest that the Grizz will bring him along slowly this season, so keep that in mind, and I think Jackson will spend a fair portion of the season on waiver wires and standard leagues, but he could be a huge guy come the last couple of months of the season. So potentially around fantasy playoff time. So keep that in the back of your mind and put him on your watch list.
I'm not fully convinced that they will bring him along slowly. I think they're saying that at this point, but I think when it comes in and they see how superior he is to Jermichael Green, that he will be in there from opening night, but that remains to be seen. They are saying all the right things, and it's what most teams seem to say with young big men, but we'll see. I think he'll be in there for a decent role early on, but there will be some teething problems, and I think when you look at his overall projection and his rank, that won't be where he is for the first 2-3 months of the season, but then the last 3 months he'll probably exceed that, and maybe he is a top 70 guy in that, you know, February, March period of a season. So that's important to know. I don't think he's a guy that's going to end up on many of my teams because I feel like he is going to go earlier than I would like. But those block numbers, the ability to hit threes, are really, really interesting. I just think that there is a chance that he probably gets a little bit overdrafted. That's Jaren Jackson. As for Gay, I really love him as a late pick. I think he's being underrated significantly. And Hollis Jefferson, he played 30 minutes a game in the last 15 games of the season. I think he can get back to that number. He should. Injuries have been a problem with him. He suffered a groin injury in China just a month or so ago. That should be fine for the start of the season. And if he can get his steal rate back to what it was as a rookie, then his value just explodes. But as of now, he's a solid late round type of guy whose role really isn't under too much of a challenge. Now, the next tier, Matt, we've got a few guys there that people might take issue with them being so low. Paul Millsap, Dario Saric, and the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari. I can see people saying Millsap and Saric should be higher than that. Do you have concerns with these guys for this season? Because obviously this is based off my projections.
Yeah, I do. Paul Millsap in particular is just going to take a backseat now to the talent around him in Denver with Jokic, Harris, Jamal Murray, Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench. And he's a long way off his Atlanta Hawk days. So based on projections, he's only providing a positive contribution in two categories, and that's rebounds and blocks, and it's only sort of just as well. It's not a massive margin, so that's the reason why Paul Millsap is down the rankings a fair bit. Dario Saric was able to hold top 80 value last season, which was interesting, but that did drop outside the top 100 in the final 2 months of the season.
That's
I think
key.
He'll be around that mark again this season. And your second favorite player behind Derek Rose, Gallinari, his ranking is there pretty much solely on his free throw percentage, just gives him a massive boost up the list. His only other positive categories are points and threes, and he's coming off 21 games played last season and finds ways to just get obscure injuries, so any value is often short-lived.
Are you saying that multiple torn ass muscles is not common, Matt?
That is not common. I've never had one. I don't know about you, but I've never had a torn ass muscle.
No, not myself, but who knows? Still got plenty of life left to live. Who knows what's going to happen? But as for Saric, it's important that you did mention that post All-Star break, he played 27 minutes a night. He was ranked outside the top 100. And yeah, he was strong early in the season. His three-point shooting was a big, big surprise. Went from 31 to 39%. I think there's a level of normalization in that three-point shooting. I also think that the minutes are going to be less than what they were last season. I was waiting all season for Marco Fultz to come back and take some of Saric's minutes. In the end, Fultz only came back for a couple of games, but Saric still lost those minutes anyway. So I don't think he's going to be playing the 30 minutes he played last season. And he is going to be a guy, I think, that is going to be a subject to being overdrafted. Now, I think Yahoo knocked his ranking down about 30 spots. Very much in line to where I had him projected. And that sounds about right. Now, as for Millsap, again, I agree with you. I think he's going to look to be the fifth option on offense on that in that starting five, because we know Will Barton's not taking a backseat to anybody in terms of getting his shots up, even though he probably shouldn't. And Millsap's another year older. He had that one really strong year in terms of blocks, and we had 1.7, but every year after that, before that, it's been like 0.9 to one block per game. So I don't think we can expect a huge leap forward in his block numbers. And that does limit what he can do. And I just do worry at his age, how many minutes they play him. Will they look to get Trey Lyles a little bit more involved in there? And that's going to impact Millsap. And while he was a real favorite as a top 20 guy 3-4 years ago, we're a long way away from that now. And I don't think you should be drafting based on memories of what Millsap was able to do back in those times. And Gallinari is just he's a late round flyer. You take a flyer, if it works out, maybe he's a top 50, 60 guy on a team that could use him and some value at that position. But you know that there's a significant risk every time that you get him onto your team. Let's move forward with tier 10 now. Matt, a couple of guys whose names we've already mentioned, but let's go through them now.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac from the Magic, Harrison Barnes from the Mavericks, and Kelly Olynyk from the Heat. As we mentioned before, Magic will start Nikola Vucevic and Aaron Gordon to get up front, keeping Jonathan Isaac and rookie Mo Bamba in backup roles. They're probably going to need a trade or an injury to see their full potential this season. Isaac in particular will be in extreme action for defensive. When I was trying something to say about that was a real struggle.
Matt, I'm going to cut you off because you're cutting out there. So I'm just going to talk for a second until hopefully this internet connection returns. But what you were saying about Jonathan Isaac, look, we know he's got huge steals and huge blocks potential, but getting the minutes is going to be the key. Will he start at small forward? Will they run with John Simmons or Terrence Ross there? I think that Isaac can push to minutes in the mid-20s, and that's enough for him to be able to get you steals and blocks in big enough value to actually have use, but he's going to be a low scorer. He needs that shooting to come around. So while we look at him in this tier, you probably don't need to take him there, and there is a significant risk that it doesn't actually pan out for him in terms of the amount of playing time that he needs, even though I think he is really, really significantly talented and a real strong potential piece on this team. Now, Matt, let's see if you're... your voice is back on this dodgy connection.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Perfect. Just moving on to Harrison Barnes, I was going to say that I was struggling to find a comment and something to write about Harrison Barnes. And I've got here that projected him 30 minutes per game, averaging over 18 points per game, and he still isn't inside the top 100. That just says so much about the rest of his stats. There's just absolutely nothing there. So, wouldn't be drawing Harrison Barnes. I won't be earning him this season. And Kelly Olynyk provides some bench scoring for the Heat, but for fantasy purposes, he's going to need something to happen to either James Johnson or Hassan Whiteside to have sustainable value.
Do you think that Olynyk is better than Johnson or Whiteside?
Completely different player in certain aspects, yes. He fits that team really nicely in terms of spreading the floor, good pass, just too many pump fakes, just like shoot the ball, pump fake, fake, pump fake, fake. I still think he'll get to see some minutes off the bench there, but he's just too inconsistent for my life.
Barnes is an interesting one. He's continually overranked on sites. Where is he ranked? 70th on Yahoo. I don't get it. He was the 100th ranked player last season. He was the 89th ranked player the year before. So they're somehow expecting, hey, more talent around. Harrison Barnes is all of a sudden going to become good at something because he doesn't get steals. He doesn't get blocks. Limited rebounds. Assists aren't there. Low field goal percentage last season. Dropped almost 2.5 percentage points. He shoots free throws well. That's a nice positive, but it's just so much nothingness. And I think some of the numbers do drop off from him this season with Doncic and Jordan getting more assists. I think he plays more three than he has in the past seasons, which probably has a negative impact on his rebounds, let alone playing alongside DeAndre Jordan, who steals rebounds off everybody. And even in the last 3 months of last season, Barnes' rebounds went down to 5.3 per game. So that was shit house in that area as well. I can't see any scenario where I'm owning Harrison Barnes, even though he is a good scorer and points are hard to come by. Maybe that's the case. If I did get Draymond earlier, I will go for Barnes a bit earlier. But at pick 70, I don't get it. I don't understand why anyone would be looking at him in that sort of an area. It just doesn't make too much sense to me. But Matt, let's go to tier 11 now and go through those players who you've got listed there. You've got six guys in that tier at this point. Not lost Matt again. Let's try again. Have we got Matt Smith back to tell me who finally is in these tier 11?
I'm back. We have Thaddeus Young from the Indiana Pacers, Alpha Rukaminu from the Trailblazers, James Johnson from the Heat, Derek Favors from the Jazz, Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers, and Serge Ibaka from the Toronto Raptors. So probably don't have to spend a real lot of time on each of these guys. Thaddeus Young is a one-cat wonder these days with his 1.5 steals per game. Just keeping him on the fantasy radar, and Domantas Sabonis could eat into his playing time this season. Alpha Rukaminu, you might want to play your little sound drop, Josh.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
That's exactly right. He's as inconsistent as they come, but he's also prone to blowing up, having a massive line, which makes him dangerous streaming option in head-to-head leagues. James Johnson was injured last year, played through that sports hernia, which can somewhat explain his down year. And I actually don't mind him for a semi-bounce-back season this year. That's still got that starting role, some reasonable playing time, and the potential to flirt with a steal three and block per game. Derek Favors played an equal career high 77 games last season and had a better campaign than the year before. And if he can keep his rebounds and blocks strong, he'll be a useful low-end power forward option. Kyle Kuzma will come off the bench behind LeBron James and Brandon Ingram. He'll be okay for some points and threes, but his lack of defensive stats will see him spend more time on the waiver wires than rosters. And Serge Ibaka has just fallen a long, long way, and he'll be a popular streaming option for blocks, but offers little else.
Even his blocks have fallen down pretty considerably from where they used to be. His field goal percentage is way down. I think guys like Young and Johnson, even Aminu and Favors, they've got pretty limited upsides. Like, you get them and you know what they are. Like, Favors really, I think his numbers were boosted by the fact that he played a lot of center when Rudy Gobert got injured. And then when he played power forward, his numbers weren't quite as good. Kuzma and Ibaka are the two guys who are going to get overdrafted here. They're ranked next to each other on Yahoo, 79 for Ibaka and 80 for Kuzma. Kuzma was great last season, no one's denying that, but I think there is an element of unsustainability in his level of shooting, plus the fact that he's not a good assist, steals, or blocks guy. He doesn't get to the line huge amounts. His rebounding is not, it's not fantastic, but it's not terrible. And yeah, getting that playing time, like what amount of minutes is he going to get behind Ingram, behind James? Will they play all three of those together? They will at times, but I just don't see him playing the 34 minutes per night he played post All-Star, where even in that time, he was ranked 79th, which is exactly where Yahoo's got him ranked at the moment. And I think expecting that level from him is pretty irresponsible to have him at that level. Now, he could very much improve from last season. Maybe he can do defensive stuff. I don't think he can. Will he get the ball in his hand to get assists? Absolutely not. But yeah, maybe the shooting does improve and some of his efficiency goes up, but there is also a risk that he doesn't shoot at 38% from three, which he was doing for big chunks of last season. So there is a risk with Kuzma. I think picking him at 80 would be, it's not something I would advocate in any sort of situation.
Not me either.
Last tier, Matt, a couple of guys just to mention to round this off.
Yeah, Taj Gibson from the Timberwolves, and good to see the Timberwolves are now going with the youth and just signed Lou Alding, so he'll probably come in and play 35 minutes a night. Gibson was actually a top 100 player last season in 33 minutes per game, but that was heavily inflated by his field goal percentage, and that will be the one thing keeping his ranking within probably just the 150. Could be a useful guy in rotisserie leagues if you need a boost. Pascal Siakam will compete with Serge Ibaka and Greg Monroe for backup minutes. And Markieff Morris could be best suited coming off the bench playing that backup four and five, but for now it looks like he'll start a power forward and he'll lose some value with Dwight Howard there in town, mainly rebounds and probably a lower field goal percentage, with Markieff Morris playing a stretch four type role. So wouldn't be looking at any of those guys, in standard leagues.
Gibson's an interesting one because Yeah, look at his number. He's top 100 last season. Tibbs is going to play him a lot of minutes. And that's true, but his minutes did decrease as the season went on. They decreased even further in the playoffs. And over the post-All-Star break period, he was outside the top 120. He saw a massive rise in his true shooting, up almost 7 percentage points last season. He'd been always around that 55 mark, 54. He went to 61 with a big free throw jump, with a big field goal jump. And I think both of those things could suffer some regression. He's not getting steals or blocks or assists. And I do think that if they decide they're going to play more Jimmy Butler at the four, which they did in the playoffs, they might not, but they could. Gibson's minutes will drop a little bit more, as they did over the second half of last season. So it's all well and good to make jokes about Tibbs. Like, I do it all the time. But yeah, Gibson's not a guy that's getting 37 a night. He got 33 and those numbers started to come down and continue to come down. And I do think that we might see him at an advanced age, a guy who was pretty limited. There is absolutely zero upside, I think, in taking Taj Gibson there. And I agree with you on Markieff Morris as well. Matt, that will wrap us up for the Power Forwards tiers. Let us know where people can find you on Twitter.
Yep. We should just note that we deliberately have left Kristaps Porzingis off of this list. There's just too much uncertainty about when he will return from his ACL injury. Currently, timetable is about Christmas, but that's a moving target at this stage. So, just a bit too much uncertainty there around Porzingis and the Knicks. You can find me on Twitter at SmanSports. Give me a follow. It's actually free. You don't even have to pay. So, free fantasy basketball advice. Who would say no to that, Josh?
I'm sure everyone should jump on board and go and follow. Matt, just quickly, one thing on Porzingis, though. I think when you're looking at drafting him, if you've got an injured spot or a roto league with games limits where you treat your bench as an injured spot, I think that say you start 10 guys and have 3 bench as a standard league, I'd be okay grabbing him maybe round 10, even though that would be theoretically your 10th starter. But the difference between the 10th and 11th and 12th guy is often pretty minimal. So you can make sure you grab him there if you really want to sit him on your bench or in your injured spot, and then grab those other guys later. I wouldn't go any earlier than that. And in most cases, I probably won't end up drafting Porzingis or someone like DeMarcus Cousins either, who we are going to talk about tomorrow in the Centers Tier podcast. Follow this, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, and subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify. 5-star rating, 5-star review, you know the story. On YouTube, give me a thumbs up, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Matt, thank you once again.
Thank you, Joshua.
Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kyle Kuzma.